You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Brian.
And this is the show where you get left, right, and centered libertarian perspectives on a variety of issues. We have a special show today. We'll be a little bit on the shorter side, but we have some announcements. So stick around if you are out there, and we'll get to them at the end. We have some big, exciting changes for the show coming that I think will give us a better quality product outside of one of the announcements, which is just sad, but we will get to that in a moment. There's some good foreshadowing for you. I'm going to Tarantino it. Let's back it up, and we're going to get to the beginning of this. We're going to talk about the insurrection a little bit today, or whatever you feel like calling January 6, 2021. People have different names for it. Everybody basically knows what it was. There was a group of heavily, they came actually from a Trump rally. And then, of course, more were added as things got called in. If you listen to the main We're Libertarian show, we actually had a couple of listeners give us never-before-seen footage on the show. And we had some first perspectives there. Of course, now, if you're listening to the show, you are probably not a Trump diehard. But when people, when you live in the D.C. area... And hi Ron Milford. If you live in the DC area and people say, hey, get here because something big's going on, then you say, yeah, I'll show up and see what's going on. And it turned out so what initially was a rally that was protesting the, I would base it loosely on a stolen, saying that the election was stolen. And then that rally went to the Capitol building, not the White House, the Capitol building, and invaded the halls. Some Congress folks were still in there. Some locked themselves in restrooms. Some escaped through tunnels. There was a pipe bomb that was found at the DNC that I guess didn't go off or was non-functional, but it did exist, and it's important to talk about there too. The FBI went heavy on trying to get everybody involved, and it was not a small amount of people. If you see the thumbnail for this episode, I just have the pictures on one of the stairs, and there's hundreds of people. And it's been everybody. I mean, it's funny because, you know, most of them are, of course, nobodies, but a lot of them happen to be actors that have lost their jobs because of it. And, you know, small scale local politicians that, you know, now they're facing arrest because of it. There were people who stole property there, people who posed for pictures. The Trump shaman was a longtime favorite QAnon presence of mine. He's the guy with, if you see him, the face paint and the buffalo hat. Maybe a bison hat. Sorry to be un-PC. I don't know what was skinned in the making of his hat, but he kind of became
probably a lot of ocean plastic. But anyway, yes.
So basically, just to get a couple of definitions going for us here, because I don't plan on this being, we're here to just talk about the events, and not, I don't want to get bogged down too much on definitions, but so much of this, the arguments have become about definitions. And you know, whatever you call it, if you call it, it kind of tilts your hand into what you feel happened that day, you know? So a riot is is defined as a violent disturbance of the peace by a crowd. A protest is a statement or action expressing disapproval or an objection to something. And an insurrection is a violent uprising against an authority or government. You know, Brian, let's start with you. What are your feelings generally on January 6th? How do you refer to it? What are your thoughts?
I refer to it as the lamest Revolutionary War reenactment ever taken place on this, in this country. If it's an insurrection that's a political statement, that's pretty loose. I mean, we could say a lot of things are then a political statement, a violent political statement. You could start pointing to the riots the year before. You can start pointing to a lot of other things that were political in nature. But I don't hear anyone calling them insurrection. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of idiots out there. Some of them pretty armed, but surprisingly, the number of people that were, quote, especially the most recent ones that were indicted for sedition, they were actually very careful. They did not bring, quote unquote, well, they did not bring firearms onto the Capitol. They definitely probably brought bottles, sticks, other sorts of things that are called in the indictment of what they did and track their movements. But if you read through the indictment, especially for these guys, for seditious conspiracy, this is a, as I said, a glorified thinking that they're Thomas Jefferson, the 2021 version of Thomas Jefferson, trying to go in and overthrow the government. And they got lied. They didn't do anything. And then they went out to Denny's afterwards and had celebratory dinner. So they didn't go to Denny's. I don't know which restaurant, but I'm just guessing. It's actually in the indictment. They went and celebrated. Now you have to understand the whole month and a half changed before this. We're going to go down there. We're going to storm. We're going to take back the government, blah, 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 blah. And literally they got inside. They took pictures. A couple of them got maced. They went outside and then they went to dinner. So I have a hard time calling it an insurrection. Can you say conspiracy? Definitely. There's a lot of things from the Signal chat, which I'm guessing was handed over to them, as one of our friends of the show pointed out, saying that they were probably showing off pictures of their grandkids, and the FBI said, hey, let me look at that. Okay, thanks. I'm going to take the phone now. basically just... It's terrible. Will I call it an insurrection? Just like what I said, most of these riots were over the summer and things like that. 90% of the people, you know, I'd say 90% of the people are there to be like, woo, look at us. 5% are there because they really want change, and 5% are there because they want to break crap. And so we've got probably those two 5% groups overlapping with these 11 yokels that got indicted. Are there going to be more? Yes. Are there going to be people that are going to get the book thrown at them for everything? Yeah, probably. Is it deserving? Well, I think it's a little hard to sit there and indict the person that got wheeled into the Capitol saying that they were trying to commit sedition if they're in a wheelchair being put into that's a bit of a stretch, but yeah, you can make the case. And this is the problem with a lot of federal laws. So again, If you're trying Revolutionary War reenactments, don't look up these guys.
Right. Here's how not to do a revolution. Lou, give us your thoughts on the situation.
I'm kind of in agreement. I mean, it really was just bad LARPing. Like, if you've ever been to any, like, Ren fairs or any, I mean, it was just awful, like, laughable LARPing.
If they would have had foam swords, it would have made it perfect. But anyway,
right, exactly. Like, it was so Monty Python-ish. Like, I really was waiting for the dudes with the
Monty Python's Revolution.
No, Benny Hill, because then you start the Benny Hill music. You speed up a little bit. Sax is going in the background.
It was so over the top. And, like, it's one of those things where it's, I find it really funny because on the left, you hear people like, that wasn't an insurrection. It was so stupid. Unless they, like, want to charge them, then it's, you know, insurrection. And on the right, they're like, well, it wasn't really an insurrection. It was just a demonstration. I'm like, yeah, but if you would have actually overtook the Capitol, like, you would be calling it an insurrection too. And patting yourself on the back for it. Like, it was just a complete dud. Like, and everyone looked really dumb for it. On all sides, you know, you've got some people working in the Capitol who I think in some ways overreacted, in other ways they didn't know. So, like, they didn't know what they were reacting to. So there was some genuine fear, but in a lot of ways it's kind of like, is the guy in the wheelchair really gonna, like, it didn't make sense to me. It was like a bunch of old people, and I don't know. It was stupid and a waste of time for everybody. It was funny to watch. And then the one really interesting thing was, to me, there really was a, you know, glaring, like, social commentary on the difference between the right and the left was when Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed. Because had this, you know, I find it really interesting. She was told several times, you need to stop, don't breach this area, what have you. And she broke through the window and was shot and killed by security or police, or I think it was security. I don't know.
It was Secret Service, I believe.
Secret Service,
they identified themselves as Secret Service. If Secret Service is pointing a service revolver at you or something,
right?
Yeah, they have the right to shoot you. So
yeah, absolutely. And I find it so funny because, you know, you turn around. We recently talked about the Ahmaud Arbery case. And, oh, yeah, it was a justified shooting. Da, da, da. And it's like, but Ashley Babbitt wasn't. So, like, the compare and contrast between left and right on that topic was so brought to light with Ashley Babbitt. And it's sad anybody had to lose their life, and I hate to say it, but it was kind of laughable in the sense that, like, at the commentary coming out of the right was laughable for all these, you know, law and order righties, you know. But the entire thing was stupid. It really did nothing but make them look dumb. And if you continued to follow the insanity of the QAnon crowd since then, it's only gotten weirder. Now, aren't they, like, camped out in Dallas waiting for the return of JFK? And,
like, no. Oh, my God. Like, no.
That's the thing. They're literally, what? There's a group of them.
Wasn't it RFK?
Waiting for
the
return of JFK. Literally.
I thought it was RFK they were waiting back for.
I don't know.
I'm going to Google that.
No, that is a QAnon thing. That, like, it is going to show up at convention, right? RFK convention. I mean, I can just Google this. It's a real,
like, there was, I was reading recently, there was a lady here that, you know, her family was worried about her, and she's left her husband and kids JFK to go Jr. wait for the return.
JFK Jr. Yes, thank you. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. And told her family she wasn't coming back until it happened.
I want to go to these people and say, remember that comment we had back in, like, the early, late 90s, the Hail Bop one?
Right.
Are you guys all wearing the same, like, Reebok outfit and tennis shoes? If so, we've seen this movie before. So
right. It's, and I was unaware until now that mental illness was contagious.
Oh.
If anything, COVID has proven that it is.
The entire thing, and from beginning to end, it has made me take anything and everything a Republican has to say as laughable. It's silly. The whole thing is silly.
Well, thank you both for your thoughts. I regret to say that my thoughts weren't, like, as, like, funny, I guess. Like, because it is part of it is hilarious. Because, like, it was so, you weren't even close. Like, even if you storm the Capitol, it's not like it's not like the government is contained there, right? It's not like, and part of it, when you thought the election was stolen, I was like, well, you were better off breaking into where they keep the ballots, which at the time was, you know, there were places in Georgia and Arizona and stuff. And I'm like, if you really think it was stolen, break into the right place, you know? All this is going to do is make people look at you like you're a bunch of losers. Now, There are a couple issues that I have here. One is that the biggest problem that I have is there was a moment when Donald Trump Jr. was, I believe it was Donald Trump. Was it Eric Trump? It was one of the Trumps, a Trumper person, got up in front of everybody and was talking about how BLM did all these violent things and people were booing and all this. And then they were like, but we need to learn to protest like we need to protest like them. And that, when he was clearly referencing the violence and then said, like, it, like, we can't do this, like, peaceful sit on the sides and just ask for what we want anymore, it made people feel like they had to do something, right? Like, it gets you stirred up, you know? I think for me watching it, when you say, look at these guys, they're out there in the streets committing violence and they're getting stuff done and we're just over here whining, we need to change. Okay. But unfortunately, that's going to, you are not responsible for the actions of other people. I understand. And I think this was where I fall kind of, the reason I'm middle ground on this is, on one hand, I recognize that that's an abhorrent thing to call for. And a dumb person will commit violence based on the dumb things that you say, even if you didn't call them to do it. Now, are they directly responsible or legally responsible for it? I would say probably not. There was never an official investigation into it. It was a big deal, right? They were like, I don't think Trump actually organized this thing, or anybody organized this thing. And leaks have come through and everything like that. And frankly, and I'm aware that because there wasn't an official investigation, I can't know for sure. But the best evidence I've seen has always been a bunch of like nothing burgers. Like they'll always be like, you won't believe what Sean Hannity knew when he knew it. And then like they show this text of somebody being like, people are just charging the Capitol, and Sean Hannity's like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. And you're like, all right, so what am I supposed to be amazed by here? Like, was there is rumors that there was, that this was a, and maybe some of the protesters indeed have it in mind that they were going to do this, to say we're going to take these guys and get them over here. I don't know that it was orchestrated by any one individual. I think a lot of the people that we want to be implicated, I think it's probably more people like the Trump shaman than Trump that actually instigated this thing. So that's kind of like my middle ground take on it. Now, that being said, depending on how you view it, there were between 5 and 7 people that actually died because of this. Now, Ashley Babbitt is the famous one because she was going through the window and somebody shot her. I guess security shot her while she was going through the window. There was 3 self-inflicted wounds. And there was Kevin Greeson, who died of a heart attack. Yep. On the sidewalk. And I mean, they said heart attack. There was Roseanne Boyland, who got crushed in the stampede. And there was Benjamin Phillips, who died of a stroke. How much of that was related to it? Again, heart attack, stroke. I mean, it probably wouldn't have happened if you were in the middle of a bunch of exciting things happening. And maybe if doctors could have got you on time instead of, you know, being surrounded, getting crushed, I'd say, is pretty directly responsible. But then after that, there were the police officers. There actually was one who was attacked by rioters, Brian Sicknick, and he did die. He died on January 7th. He died the following day. And there were 2 officers that actually committed suicide after the events. Now, that's a lot of needless deaths by a lot of different people that you want. I think one of the things about a leader is, we talk a lot on this show and in liberty movements about what makes you technically responsible for something. And really that list is going to be very small, but the evidence of a good leader is somebody who wants more responsibility, who says, I want to be more responsible. I give it to me. I want to take responsibility. I'll take the punishment if it's bad. I'll take the credit if it's good. And that's just something that we want people to be aggressive like that if they're in leadership positions. I don't want somebody who's constantly saying they're not technically responsible for stuff, because I'm aware that list is very short, right? What you are technically responsible for your, like, in life is, I mean, it doesn't even include your own self-upkeep. You can let yourself starve to death. There's no, who cares, right? Like, you're not even responsible for keeping yourself alive. You know, I think if you're a parent, you're probably responsible for keeping your kids alive. But again, this is a very short list of things that you're technically responsible for. But when I don't find that great leadership, and this is, believe me, this problem has continued with Biden as well, but is when they take something that's a problem and they just shrug it off and say, I'm not responsible for this. I'm not responsible for that. I think when, you know, when Trump said what he said about, you know, calling it the China virus, and people went out and committed violence against Asian Americans, you might not technically be responsible, but it requires a level of intellect and leadership to say, you know what, I'm aware that when I said this, people, like dumb people, and I grant that they're dumb, took this as like, hey, go commit violence against Asian Americans. But dumb people exist. You don't, we're not free in a world where you get to be public and be free of dumb people. If you're on social media, you are inundated with dumb people. You are surrounded by them. And they will act based on stupid things and things that they kind of hear. And there are times that I've had self-checks before. I had a friend, I received a telephone interview with the FBI because of it, because I was friends with him, and he ended up selling weapons to a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything of it. Those of you who know me know, and you probably heard me advocate on the show, I am pure peaceful protest. I'm all in on pacifism. I think that if you are violent and you lose, your side just looks dumb forever. And I think that it's just one of those, you might be justified. It might be it's a discussion I do want to have one of these days where we talk about pacifism, but one of these days could be a while. And so just a snapshot of my views, I'm all about peace and stuff like that. But I'm aware that I also share a lot of things that are very anti-government, anti-establishment. And part of me was like, you know what? I probably could do a better job saying like, hey, I'm against these things, but please don't shoot them. Please don't sell guns to them. And I want everybody to know that. And so like, I think for me, and not that I'm a great leader, but even if I say I'm not responsible for this kid trying to sell weapons to terrorists, I can at least take responsibility and say, you know what, if just in case this was something that happened, I'm going to change the way I speak a little bit. Instead of inciting people to anger of some kind, I'd rather inspire them to peace. So I want to make sure to kind of weave those things together. It's one of those things that made Martin Luther King Jr. a lot better at this than I am, but I'm a small-time podcast host and he's Martin Luther King friggin' Jr. So that's why he's so great at what he does. So when these people die, you got to take some responsibility if you want to be a leader, is the short way of saying what I managed to just say in a very, very long way. Now, was this an insurrection, protest, riot? Brian, I can't believe you said it, but I was actually going to get into the sedition part of this. It probably is more close to that, you know, for those who are involved than anything else, because sedition is the act of wanting to, it's actually what they executed Jesus on, wanting to replace a king with another king. And they were like, well, Jesus wanted to be king. That's why there was so much discussion in the Bible about like, are you a king? And he's like, well, you know, of not of this world. And Pilate's will think, well, that's not sedition. You know, like that's a dumb argument, right? So were these people trying to replace this leader with another leader? At the time, Trump was still the leader. They just wanted to keep him the leader for longer. I think it's hard to doubt that that's what they wanted to do. And so I find that there's a little bit of, there's elements in all four of them. Was it a riot? Was it a protest? Was it an insurrection? Yeah, probably all of these things. Now, was it very good? No. It's certainly not one that like you want modeling, you know, and this is where the jokes come in. Like this did nothing. This accomplished nothing. You got in a lot of trouble. You felt stupid if you were a part of it. I love how initially they were like, this must be Black Lives Matter, and this was Antifa. That's what it was. Claiming, you know, putting on Trump hats and trying to make us look bad, you know. And then you find out it's the people that came from the Trump rally and you're like, well, now I feel extra stupid because I said these people were trying to make us look bad, but they actually are us.
There's also the theory that that the FBI was setting him up through Ray Epps, but that's a different story. So did you hear about that?
The what?
Ray Epps. Ray Epps was caught on video several times, including the night before, telling people in the crowd that were there for Trump, saying, we need to go inside the Capitol. And the funny thing is, somebody was recording it and they're all like, no, 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 no. And they all start chanting, Fed, 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 Fed. And
oh,
it was like,
gosh.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, I mean, so I don't think there was like this. I think he was really trying to push him to do it. But the thing is that there's been no conversation about him. They Rand Paul and a couple of crews tried to ask the FBI about it, but they said it was an ongoing investigation and they couldn't comment. So I have a feeling we won't hear a damn word about it until after the 2022 midterms. So, but sorry, Hody, I just wanted to chime in on that.
You're good. I think I'd pretty much run out of steam. That was about all I wanted to say about it. I am sympathetic to people who want to overthrow the government, violent or otherwise, because I dislike the government. I don't think that that's any surprise to many of us here. But how you go about things matters. And there is an element of it that said that you need to understand. I think libertarians are very gifted on what the philosophy is. I think where we could use a little bit of work is developing a strategy and kind of unifying around that strategy and saying, this is how we're going to go about it. You know, I think it's not just being peaceful, but employing an action that is peaceful, you know, and it's not just sitting at your computer and, hey, at least I didn't punch anybody in the face today. That's a great minimum, right? Like, that's the nap. That's a good minimum to have. But there's a lot that you can do with peace as a foundation. You know, pacifism is not passivism. It's not letting whatever you want, like whatever happens, and just say like, well, at least I wasn't a part of it. You know, there's demonstrations to be made for doing something right that just don't happen to be violent. And so the issue here is, and there is a lot of libertarians that I think we have seen them that tend to feel positive feelings about the events of January 6th and like that it was a good attempt, or that it was, hey, at least the people are inspired enough to do something about it, or at least they're targeting government buildings, which isn't a target. And so that, you know, as long as it's not a target super center, like that's a pretty good thing. You know, it's like, well, but if you don't do it for the right reasons and you don't do it in the right way, you're going to end up looking bad in the long run. And the last year has not been kind to that position. I'm sorry to, if you are a libertarian who is trying to defend January 6th, history is not looking good for you. I know it's only been a year, but so far not good, you know, and because there are things to protest that are great, but we need to take care of those and address those and modify our forms of protest to be better and be more effective. This makes you look bad. This is a step back for attacking the government buildings, for example. So if libertarians had a good, like now, if you were to invade the government building and say, but we did it for a good reason. We did it because of all the victimless crimes or because of all the war. You're going to be marked with January 6th, right? And so you're going to have to try to overcome that. These people have ruined it for you. As opposed to setting a foundation for something to do in the future, they've kind of taken something off of the table. You can't do that anymore. Anybody else? Any January 6th related thoughts? I appreciate your thoughts about Ray Epps there. I found there's so much rumors of this and rumors of that and text message of this. And as I was studying for the show, I tried to go through them all. And it's hard to say what's real and what's not, no. But, It is interesting to see how the people that are involved, because sometimes it's like, why were you there? You know, no. Like you were a you were a lawyer. You had a six-figure job. Like you had no reason to do this.
These people, and I can understand being caught up in the moment. There's probably a lot of people in the Black Lives Matter riots, and actually any riot really whatsoever. You know, hey, you know what? They're making a good point. And yeah, we need to smash the system. We need to smash the system, and smashing it means tearing up this Starbucks or whatever it is. I understand there are people that crop in the moment. But that's why, you know, riots are full of stupid people. Rioters are stupid. They follow along. They're just like groups of people. They do stupid things in mass with no idea if they're doing something right or wrong, just everybody else is doing it. So, I mean, just looking at 1-6, you're absolutely correct, Hody. Any sort of violence on the Capitol, which I'm not for violence in almost every circumstance. I mean, right. You know, I'm more of a change it from within than try to get from without, because I will say Biden is correct. If we ever had a real hardcore insurrection type of thing, they do have nukes. So it makes it a little, you know, if worst case scenario, they're going to lose the farm and they know where we're all living. Guess what? But
right. I mean, it's like we don't want to steal anybody's apples.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You better not steal my apples. Got them. I've got that freaking kid again just stealing my damn apples.
Back off. All right. Well, I promise you a shorter show, and it is going to be. We're going to take a brief break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. So hang tight, because this is where things are going to get interesting. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you for listening through the break there. We're gonna finish things up on, well, unfortunately, we got to start off on a little bit of a somber note, and I'm a bad news first kind of guy. So, Lou, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about your situation and what you, I would say, want to talk about, but that's not accurate. It's something you have to talk about. So tell us what's going on in the world of Lou.
So this is going to be my temporary, hopefully, farewell show for a little while. I'm going to take a bit of a hiatus and excuse me, focus on my health and things there just to try and get me back on track. A lot of you know, and it's something that I talk about pretty frequently in the show, that, you know, about a decade ago, I was diagnosed with mixed connective tissue disease, lupus, and sort of a swath of autoimmune issues. And as well as finding out that I had a, what they call medullary sponge kidney, which is a, like a kind of a polycystic kidney. And so, but it wasn't at the time really affecting me. And then recently I've been having some weird symptoms like fevers every single night for no reason or seemingly no reason. And just really, really tired. And obviously, like, I just woke up long enough to do this show and I'm going back to bed. So they're still running some tests to figure out what's going on exactly. But it looks like there's something going on with my kidneys. And so having a chronic kidney disease, I think we're looking at, you know, how, like, far it is and what we need to do from here. So it could just be as simple as, you know, switching up my diet and getting on some meds. I don't anticipate dialysis or transplantation anytime soon. I'm still young, so hopefully that's not anywhere near where we're at, but we're still trying to figure it out. So I'm gonna take some time to just focus on me, and, you know, I still have to work every day, so my weekends are quite literally for sleeping now. But that doesn't mean that, you know, if we have a show on a day where I'm feeling good, I might pop in. So, or when we get things all squared away and get me back on track, I hope to be back, and hopefully sooner rather than later. So,
yeah. I mean, obviously that's a gut punch for you just medically and everything like that. And obviously the comments are coming in now and everybody loves you. So now that I know we're going to lose like half of our viewers, of course, basically
half. I was guessing 3/4. Jeez. Yeah.
Next announcement probably needs to be that this is over.
Oh, no.
but I just, you know, Lou, obviously you are the best lefty libertarian I could ask for. I was so stoked when you offered, because it's hard. I think here's the thing. It's not that left libertarians are worse. I have a bigger collection of right libertarians that are valid for the show. You know what I mean? Because there are so many, I find that of half the libertarians, you know, and this is probably true of half the far right libertarians as well. I have half of them blocked and I have the other half not blocked, but I find them somewhat tolerable.
especially Brian. No, I was going to say, have I fallen into the tolerable group now? <You're
right. laughs> And then, you know, and then on the other hand, I, you know, with the left libertarians, I find that some are just so antagonistic and angry and hostile towards right libertarians. They can't even entertain a conversation. I think that's the big one with kind of the lefties. The right will talk to you, but the left feels kind of a more moral sense of if I'm talking with the enemy, I'm giving them a platform, I'm doing something wrong kind of thing. And so it's harder to find, you know, when I want somebody to take these left libertarian positions, it's harder to find, and to find somebody that does it in a way that is empathetic, that is smart, that, and you check all those boxes that I could possibly want. You've been a phenomenal representative, just liberty in general. I mean, and to get away from the left-right paradigm, I mean, you're just a great person. You are a liberty lover. You are funny. And I love the sense of humor is so important. And I think that that's part of the way forward in the libertarian strategy. And just, I think the world is just a better place with you in it. And unfortunately, it seems like God's trying hard to get you off of it right now. And I'm really hoping, I'm just really hoping that this is a speedy recovery, as quick as possible, and that it's as painless as possible. Having a fever, I think, for me is something that happens like twice a year, and I take like 4 ibuprofen and I'm done with it. And so I don't really ever have them, and, you know, I don't have any pains, you know? And so like whenever like I hear about people in pain for anything longer than an hour, I'm like, boy, that sounds like the worst, because that never happens to me. And so when you're going through what you go through, and like you said, you've talked about it on the show, and this is an ongoing thing, it's miserable. And the fact that you managed to keep a positive outlook and you still make time to do stuff like this, even though you probably should be getting rest.
I slept all day. I woke up this morning at like 11 and had a cup of coffee, and then I went back to bed and I woke up about 8.
I'm just going to know the death certificate's going to be like, and you know, those podcasts sure didn't help. And I'm going to be like, oh no, we killed her. We killed her.
Great. So, podcasting is now a comorbidity. Is that what it is? That is really good. Oh my God. We need to petition the AMA to get that included. Yes. He was obese and he drank a lot of pop, and oh yes, he was a podcaster. That's what did him in. Yeah. Podcasting. Can't mix all three of those.
Could have been sleeping with podcasting instead. This is comorbidity. Anyhow, it is chronic. That's for sure. Anyhow, Lou, it's just been phenomenal to have on your show, and obviously speediest of recoveries. For those who want to keep following Lou more consistently and hearing from her, Lou, where would you like them to find you?
Mostly because I'm kind of a boomer and I haven't really transitioned to other social medias. Like, I'm still on Facebook. that's mainly where I'm at. And I do have, I'm working on getting better about posting to Instagram, and I got to go look and even see what my tag is, cause I don't even know. let's see. Oh, how funny. Well, mostly you can follow me at Joker Street Inc. I think. Hang on. I'm going to find it. I have no idea.
Oh, this is the tattoo thing that we're getting.
Right. Yeah. I don't like my personal stuff. Like, I don't do much on there, at least on Instagram. So my personal page on Facebook, like, it's pretty public, and I post a lot of updates there and, you know, share funny stories and things like that. But if you want to follow like our tattoo stuff, it's JokerST.ink is our Instagram. If you want to follow my tattoo journey,
JokerST.ink to follow the tats on Instagram. Brian, you want to say anything to Lou before we move on, or just thank goodness the only libertarian worth her salt is leaving the show? Is that
pretty much it? I mean, you know, I'm just tolerable at this point, so I'm pretty lucky.
Lou, it's been a pleasure, you know, bantering with you back and forth, not only on here, but elsewhere as well. I cannot think of a better foil to have on a lot of things. And you've made me think and you've made me, you know, become prepared. And I appreciate it. And I want you to get better and come back so that we can make Hody look silly again.
that is the goal.
Several has happened several times. Several times. Yeah. I got you two always predicting the future and me going, oh my gosh, how did they do that?
So it works. It's how it works. So get well soon. I know you've got a fun road ahead of you, but you've got the good vibes, and if I see you panhandling out in front of the mall, I'll definitely see
it would be for a kidney.
Yeah.
Hit that black market up for a new one.
Change for a kidney? No. You have to do it in the deep English accent. Yeah.
In true Lou fashion, I'm going to predict the future one more time for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be fine, and I'll be back.
Great.
I agree.
That's a fantastic prediction. That one I will hold you to. And if you die, I'll just be pissed at you. I'll be like, you know, she actually got a one significant prediction really wrong. bring that up at the eulogy.
Oh my God, thank you.
Oh yeah. My God, this has gotten so dark.
We have to laugh about it or else we'll cry.
So I know, but you know, like, it's going to be me getting hit by a bus or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally unrelated.
I'm glad the doctor put me on that program, the experimental treatment. I feel great. Boom. Wow. Like, where the hell did that bus come from?
Oh, my gosh. Beat cancer, but couldn't beat the 7 o'clock to Toledo, unfortunately.
First of all, I disagree with you. No one would go to Toledo. Second of all...
This is good, man.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, this is a good segue into our the next announcement, the positive news of this. And that is it may or may not be positive news. I know a lot of you, and actually, especially for this show tonight, we're waiting. This is your Sunday nights. We are so grateful for you spending them with us. And a lot of this is going to sound like, are you quitting the podcast? I want to assure you, I am having so much fun doing this. That is not the case. But having it consistently on one day of the week is becoming problematic for a lot of people's schedules. And for me to get the best right and left, I don't want just right and left libertarian voices, but also right and left libertarians that represent the particular issue that we are talking about. And so you're probably going to be seeing a lot more of the other co-hosts that we have. And when we talk about issues, and you're probably going to see them on days that work well for them. So what we will do is I will schedule it out as much as I can. A lot of times you're lucky to get like an hour worth of advance. I will try to schedule it out a couple of days in advance, if at all, you know, or as soon as I know. So if you're following our stuff, you can find it there. Of course, we're on all the podcasting platforms, so you'll see it get automatically updated there as well. But we, you know, for me, I'm like, some people mornings work better, nights work better. I mean, I know for me, I like to say that I set my own schedule, you know, because I'm a writer. I get to do my work when I want to, but I don't control when they release a big game on a Saturday and I have to get through it and write about it. And then, oh crap, there's a show on Sunday. And so instead of staying up till 4 a.m. doing the show, it's probably better for me to just, hey, move the show to a different day. So what I'm basically saying is that the show is going to be a little more sporadic and not at all. I don't want this to sound like it's going to be less frequent. This show has never had more viewers. We've only done like one show this new year because, again, scheduling's been tough. Sickness has been tough on everybody. And that show freaking blew up like crazy. It was the inflation show. So I guess if there's a show that's going to blow up, it's going to be inflation. And I'm glad that there is so much hunger for this. I know I pointed out to both of you, there was a poll where somebody nominated us for their favorite podcast and several people voted for it. And thank you so much to those of you who said that. We are not the best podcast, but I'm really glad you think that. And that is really important to me. It really means a lot to me.
I'm starting to question the psychological stability of our viewers, but that's right.
But we're so, you know, I hate to change the format for something that is working good, but the issue, it really is a matter of, and it's not, it doesn't even have to do with Lou's sickness. This is something I wanted to do in order to get the best product possible. because sometimes I go in the chat and I'm just like, hey, we got to talk tonight about something. And sometimes nothing happens. And then some days, you guys have seen it, when I have like five things that we want to talk about. And it's just like, some days are just slow weeks in news. Some days are big weeks. And I want to be able to just say, you know what? If it's slow and there's nothing worth talking about, I'm not going to take 2 hours of somebody's time to talk, because I will talk about anything, even if it's just, you know, the origin of the chicken crossing the road joke. You know, if that's what I got to do, it's part of being a podcast, is hating dead air and just talking. And I will do that, but I'd rather stick to what matters most. I've always wanted this to be a very effective use of listeners' time. Not that we haven't been that, but we usually sometimes reach for like what seems like the biggest issue, as opposed to, hey, this is now a big deal. Let's talk about it. Let's hit it hard. And also, you know, and this happens sometimes, I just happen to fall on the left of something or the right of something. We've had instances in the show where all three of us have been in agreement on something. And not that I dislike those shows, because I think it's good to show unity, but I do want to, as well as I can, represent the libertarians who aren't in the room. And I'd like to bring them in the room if I can. So some of these, when we talk about things like immigration, I want to be able to bring in maybe a stauncher borders libertarian, so that you can actually hear their point of view, so that I can absolutely smash it to bits. That's the reason. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you know,
you'll be proud of me. Right?
That's you know, but that's just the way it is. And I'm lefter on that issue, and I'm certainly righter about, you know, economic freedoms, and that's just, you know, that's just the way the show is, and that's okay. That being said, I'm sure we'll get Lou in when she's feeling good. We'll get Brian in, because he's just too smart to not have in, and really good at representing most sides. I think all of us are. Brian is one of those people who takes such pride in being, or I guess I don't know if he takes pride in it, but he should, in being educated on a position and doing some research and citing something that I'm just like, wait, really? That makes me Google it. And that information, you know, I don't want to bring on people that aren't as educated on the issue that they're talking about. So that's just basically it. You're going to see maybe a little more variety in the hosts, and you're going to be seeing a little less consistency in the scheduling. Please follow us on, you know, I will schedule these things ahead of time as much as I can. So you can follow me on Facebook. You can follow Enemy of My Enemy. We're Libertarians on Twitter. If you're following our YouTube, if you follow Twitch, you're going to see updates whenever we know that we're going to have a show. I will post it there and try to schedule it as best as I can, because I do appreciate the live audience. Your comments are great. And that's a big part of the show. And we love connecting with you all. Anybody else want to say any last things before we clock out here?
No, this has been fun. That's about it. This has been fun. People that are listening, obviously it's going to be a few changes here. I am going to go learn how to raise yaks in the Upper Sudan. So I may take a few weeks off, but other than that, Lou, it's been an absolute pleasure. And Hody, as the tolerable person, I look forward to talking to you, maybe, if I don't take you off. So
I don't believe it was you that I called what an obtuse jerk. So I think we'll.
No, I don't think so.
That was somebody else.
Not by you, though.
Yeah.
Is that better than being an acute jerk?
Yes.
Yeah. Equilateral. Yeah. A right angle jerk.
You know? Only jerk it right now. No. Whatever.
Kind of the left, right, and center jerks there. Anyhow, some more well wishes for you there, Lou. Mm-hmm. Everybody, thank you again so much for tuning in. We are going to be around again. Stay tuned. We'll catch you next time. Much kisses, and we will see you all later.